good morning to you. Now, an independent inspection of McGabbery Prison has revealed significant progress has been made creating a safer, more settled environment for prisoners and staff 3 years after the high security facility was described as unsafe and unstable. Let me speak to the Chief Inspector of Criminal Justice in Northern Ireland, Brendan McGuigan, who's available for a conversation with us. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's a positive report, but we were starting from an incredibly low bar.
In 2015, we had very serious concerns about the direction of travel for the prison. At that stage, it was performing in the lowest percentile of poorly performing prisons in the United Kingdom. So, I'm really heartened by the progress that has been made that has lifted the prison to where it currently is, where there is some excellent practice going on.
So what has been done? What tangible evidence is there of progress?
Okay. Well, we branded it unsafe and unstable in 2015. The prison is now settled, and inspectors no longer view it as unsafe and unstable. The prison is calmer, it's safer, and the environment is more positive. The day-to-day regime is more consistent, with approximately about 50% of the prisoners are out of their cells for over 9 hours a day. The engagement between staff and prisoners has improved, with prison staff regularly patrolling the association areas, so there's no no-go areas in the prison. And violence and disorder is lower than at similar prisons in England and Wales. And that, all of that is to be really welcomed.
How common is a no-go area in a British prison? We've had examples of it here in Northern Ireland. We got the feeling that that maybe was going to be a thing of the past. Are you sure that the staff can go where they please, when they please in McGabbery?
Oh, they definitely can. There is no doubt about that. We see them regularly patrolling the association areas and intervening. And what we talk about, Frank, is dynamic security. You have security and you can talk about walls and fences and guard dogs and all the rest. Dynamic security is when staff engage with prisoners and understand exactly what's going on, seeing the mood swings, seeing the issues that are developing, and nipping them in the bud, rather than having to deal with the consequences of violence and disorder. So in many ways, intervening and engaging with prisoners in a much more positive way.
But there will be prisoners in McGabbery who are completely kept apart from each other because of the background, because of their political allegiances, because of crimes they've committed.
Well, we do have the separated regime, and we do talk about McGabbery being one of the most complex prisons in the United Kingdom, and there is no doubt about that. If you think about what it is that they're contending with, almost 45% of the prison population is on remand, so they haven't even been sentenced. Then you have your sentenced prisoners, and they range from life sentence prisoners down to people only spending a few weeks within the prison environment. And then you have, as we talk about, the separated prisoners. So all of that is a very complex mix. I'm paying tribute to the leadership within the prison itself, the governors and the staff, for the work that they've done in the intervening 3 years to lift this prison to one of the, really on the cusp of being one of the best performing prisons in the United Kingdom. We're not that far away. There is more work that needs to be done in terms of educational provision so that prisoners are actually leaving the prison with academic attainments. It's going to help them with future employability opportunities. But the one significant issue which is still very difficult, and I'm very mindful, I produced a very positive report here today, but I equally recognise that there are families grieving because they have lost sons to suicide, self-inflicted death within the prison environment. I'm very conscious of that, and in my other role as prisoner ombudsman, those investigations are taking place and hopefully will provide answers for family and for the coroner in due course. But it's the level of vulnerability of prisoners coming into the prison environment. We know it in our wider society, Frank, that that level of vulnerability is there. Well, that's exacerbated when they come into the prison environment. What we know that from recent research is that in terms of suicide and self-harm, it's five times greater within the prison environment than outside. So you see that it becomes a very concentrated problem for prison staff to deal with. And I do have some sympathy for them here, because it is extremely complex to try and determine and understand what's going on for people with mental health issues, personality disorders, addictions, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, or addiction to prescription medication. And within the prison environment, that gets accentuated, and unfortunately with sometimes very tragic consequences.
The picture you paint is of people who have problems as opposed to people who are bad. And very often, if we have hurt visited upon us on the outside, we just see the evil creature who did the dirty deed. But you're describing people who are facing a whole series of challenges that are only a step away, or maybe within touching distance, of serious mental health problems and mental illness. The obvious question is, what on earth are prison staff doing looking after those people? Well, prison officers, people who are trained to keep people incarcerated. Why are they looking after them and the mental health nurses of this country not looking after them? Is that just simply a failing of government?
Well, we know that mental health provision in Northern Ireland is in need of improvement. So that's within the wider community. Mental health nurses are in very short supply. I think what's happening within our prison environment, and I pay tribute here to the Southeastern Trust to deliver healthcare within McGabbery, and the mental health nurses that they've been able to secure to try and support prison staff in managing these individuals. And some excellent prison staff, absolutely excellent, going well above and beyond to try and make really positive interventions to try and support very vulnerable prisoners. And, you know, that's great if you know somebody's vulnerable. But for many of these individuals coming into the prison environment, some of it, they've been diagnosed with the problems and they're well known about, and they've been with them since their childhood. But for others, they're undiagnosed. And it's only when they come within the prison environment that you realise actually there is an underlying problem here that needs to be addressed and supported. And I do acknowledge the work that's going on in McGabbery and the excellent work that's going on the wings and by the prisoner safety and support team, who go around the prison trying to identify vulnerable prisoners and supporting them and trying to keep them as safe as they possibly can. I think it's a fantastic job that they do, to be honest with you. But, you know, they've no choices here. They can't determine who comes to them and who doesn't. They're committed to their custody and care, and the prison service have to do everything that they possibly can to keep these individuals safe.
Yeah, but you can't help thinking if we had a health minister or if we had a security minister, that maybe, just maybe, we would make some progress and the people with mental health problems wouldn't be going directly into jail where some of them end their own lives. There's something wrong with the system that's allowing that to happen.
Well, I have no doubt that this vulnerable prisoners is another issue that our executive will have to come back to. And I know that preliminary work was undertaken. But, you know, I'm a tremendous advocate of our devolved institution here. And I want it back as soon as we possibly can get it back. But, you know, here are public service delivery in terms of the prison service, the health service, the educational service, the voluntary and community sector, the chaplaincy, all really working in the absence of a devolved administration to deliver actually some really positive outcomes here. And if I you can't underestimate the scale of progress here. It has been excellent. And I put that down to the leadership and staff at McGabbery and the leadership within the Northern Ireland Prison Service that has maintained a focus. I've made 14 recommendations this time. if they follow through with those, I think they will transform McGabbery completely. I believe that they are well on the way, but you know they've got to concentrate their effort, maintain that focus, and deliver what we're hoping for here.
Well, certainly the politicians can't take any praise because we haven't had a government in the time that the prison has been improving. Just finally, because you do paint a very positive picture, what about the whole drugs issue? Are you confident that prisoners aren't abusing drugs in that prison, that they're not getting access to drugs, that they're not blackmailing warders to give them drugs? Are you confident that it isn't like other prisons that we see on television across the water, with the ones that I refer to with the no-go areas and whatever? You're now seeing McGabbery almost as a shining light to be shown to other services.
Well, it is in a number of respects, and in the past we've had to go to England and Wales to see some best practice. Actually, here we have it in Northern Ireland, in Spadesville. To be honest with you, Frank, there's some really positive things, innovative, creative things going on. But actually, we're coming back to the drugs issue. You know, they've been operating a zero-tolerance approach, and this was initiated by the late Governor Stephen Davis, and it's been followed through by Dave Kennedy. And fair play to them, you know, they do take a zero-tolerance approach. And, you know, that's including with staff and contractors and people coming into the prison have to be checked to ensure that they're not bringing drugs in. But actually, prisoners themselves, those that have been released and maybe are brought back into prison, the desperate measures that they will undertake to try and smuggle drugs back into the prison, ingesting large quantities of drug at significant personal risk to themselves, you know, where these drugs could leak into their system, and indeed that has happened on occasions. So, you know, the prison have taken a very robust stand on this, and I actually believe that that is part and parcel of the success story of McGabbery at the minute. The fact that you're reducing the availability of illicit drugs is helping keep the prison calm.
It's incredible to think that here in Northern Ireland that is happening, what you've just described, where someone goes on the outside, they will wrap a drug in polythene or whatever, they will swallow it. They maybe do this with a number of tablets, they will swallow them all, pass them naturally back in the prison, and then use them or distribute them in the prison. That an extreme example of, I suppose, a pathetic existence is right here on our doorstep.
Well, it is, Frank. But you know, there's a concentrated need in McGabbery. But you know, it's we're describing Northern Ireland society at the minute, and you know, the levels of vulnerability and you know, addiction that there is out there, and you know, the tragic stories of suicide and self harm are all too evident on the outside. When you come into the prison environment, it becomes more stark. As I said to you, 5 times greater chance of suicide and self-harm within the prison environment than outside of it. So there's a concentration in there. What I'm saying is McGabbery have got it right here in terms of trying to deal with this. That's not the final story. It's about reducing the dependency on these drugs, and that work is also going on within McGabbery. There's the right sort of referrals to support services to try and help people stay off drugs.
It is in many ways a very sad story, but it's so much more positive than when we spoke a couple of years ago, Brendan. I appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Brendan McGuigan there, who's reporting on the latest research and report with regards to McGabbery Prison. Brendan is the Chief Inspector of Criminal Justice in Northern Ireland. If you have a story to tell us about your prison experiences, 02890 333 105. And as Brendan McGuigan did say, our thoughts are with families who are affected by losing a loved one in the prison, and that sadly has happened regularly, and our thoughts very much with you if you're affected by our conversation this morning. 02890 333 105. Now, good morning. We're talking about the state of McGabbery Prison. I want to speak to the former Justice Minister, David Ford. David Ford, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
I suppose the obvious thing to say is a couple of years ago when we had a justice minister, the prison was an example of one of the worst in Europe. And now when we've no justice minister and no executive, it's been used as an example of good practice across the UK.
Well, there's two things to say on that. One, the report in 2015 did not say that it was the worst prison in Europe. It certainly said it was in a poor condition compared to prisons across the UK. Unfortunately, the former Inspector of Prisons from London used that phrase at the press conference. It wasn't something which is substantiated by the report. So let's not say how bad it was. But the reality is, long-term work had to be done in terms of reforming prisons, which I started on when I became minister in 2010. And I do think when you said that there was no responsibility on the part of politicians, that's not entirely fair, because I think there was definitely a change of view when I became minister, with good work being done across the leadership of the Department of Justice, the leadership of the Prison Service, and in each of the three prisons to make things better on the back of the report, which I commissioned from Dame Anne Orr's and her team, which ensured that we started the process of reform, which had been neglected for many years. It's been a slightly bumpy road, but what is clear now is that McGabbery, which is the most complex prison in the United Kingdom, is doing well, just as Hydebank and McGilligan have been doing well for some years.
So if you take some praise, or maybe Clare Sugden takes some praise as well, for sowing the seeds of a revival, who else is in line for the recognition that it gets such a good report today?
Well, there's no doubt that the leadership of the prison service at headquarters level has been very significant in the work which has been done. But the leadership and the contribution of virtually every member of staff in McGabbery has been vitally important as well. Sadly, Steve Davis, who was an excellent governor who started the process of reform, died tragically young a couple of years ago. But we have seen his good work continued under the leadership of the current governor, Dave Kennedy. A man, as has been pointed out, started off as a main grade prison officer 30 years ago and is now governing the most complex prison in the UK. That's an example of the good work being done by our local team. Yes, we had some outside assistance, people who came from England or from Scotland, to assist in the process of the reform, but fundamentally it's now being driven by local people with their firm commitment to the Northern Ireland Prison Service and doing extremely good work in virtually every area of the prison life, whether it be the mainstream of the work done by prison officers, healthcare, education, the chaplaincy, the partners that are there from the voluntary and community sector doing work like Families Matter. All of that is contributing to making McGabbery a much better place than it was.
McGabbery would be an even better place if mental health patients weren't being sent to it. And it is so obvious that a health minister has responsibility there, a security minister or a justice minister has responsibility as well. We don't have either. And it's another stark example that while people, like you've mentioned, those leading the prison service are doing their very best to improve the conditions in McGabbery and have shown success with this report, shown to have had success with this report, the government isn't in place at this present moment in time to help the most vulnerable. It's just another example of where people are suffering, tangible suffering, as a result of no guidance from above.
Well, no, the guidance from above was when I set the process in train as minister. The reality is it is now being carried through at an operational level by the staff of the prison service, and most particularly those staff who care for the most vulnerable prisoners day to day. And let's remember, we are talking about very significant numbers. 800 or 900 men in McGabbery prison, potentially around 300 who have some form of mental illness or a personality disorder who require care. And that is a serious level of involvement. There have been difficulties certainly in the past with certain aspects of healthcare, but that has improved considerably. There's better staffing and there's strong leadership from the South Eastern Trust. And that's why we are seeing things improving, because it's not a job which is being done solely by the prison staff, although it's being led by the prison staff. It's the partners from other bodies. The same as the increasing number of prisoners who are able to do real significant work in education and training to improve their prospects when they leave. Because we know that the vast majority of those who are currently in custody will leave and are less likely to reoffend if their healthcare needs are met. if they have personal relationships developed, it has the opportunity for either a job or educational further training when they leave. All of those are an important part of the package, and all of those are now getting better. It's not to say everything is perfect yet. That's a long way from it.
Okay.
But it's a significant improvement in a prison which is so complex and so difficult.
Just very, very briefly, David Ford, I want you to explain this to me as briefly as you can. If we had an executive here, could the people in power change the system where mental health patients weren't going to jail? Or is that a forlorn hope?
Well, I think there are issues as to whether we need a secure mental health unit. And that is, you know, a major issue, that there are always a small number of prisoners from Northern Ireland who have to be transferred to, generally to Carstairs in Scotland. Those are particular challenges. But the significant number of people who have mental illness or personality disorder who commit crimes means that there will always be a significant number of people in normal custody with those issues.
Okay, David Ford, really appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Now, if you are just switching on, you're very welcome. 02890 333.